Some of you may recognize the name Carol Wojtyła. Most of you will probably recognize the name St. John Paul II, who's the same person. But most of you probably know of St. John Paul II for his immense energy and enthusiasm that even permeated his difficulties with Parkinson's disease. He was a man who captivated the world by his teaching and preaching and brought a lot of people to Christ by the enthusiasm and example he showed for the faith. But this didn't start from just the moment he became Pope. There was a pivotal moment in his life that radically changed everything and made him turn to God and become his servant. He grew up in 1930s in Poland, where at the age of 7, his mother died. At the death of his mother, he went up to a statue of the Blessed Virgin and said, "I am yours," which became his motto for the rest of his life, "Totum tuum," always yours. In that way, he gave himself entirely to God through Mary, and that set off the rest of his life. The rest of his life was dominated by that experience that he wanted to do everything for God. Shortly after that, he looked towards the priesthood and entered the seminary. But in the time he entered seminary, that was also during the Nazi occupation of Poland, which means his entire seminary experience was underground, trying to avoid the Nazis finding him. Additionally, he was ordained a priest while underground and served the first few years of his priesthood while trying to run from the authorities who were trying to catch him. Eventually, though, he was able to live his life as a priest, became a bishop, and eventually was the emissary for Rome, traveling the world, helping out with the internal politics of Rome, and then was named Pope, where he really did captivate the world by his teaching and preaching. But all that came from that one pivotal moment. That one moment where he said, "I am your servant. I will do what you want." God was his main focus, and that dominated the rest of his life. Very similar to him would be St. John the Baptist, who is the person in our gospel for today. Now, normally we think of John the Baptist in connection with Advent and Christmas, where he preached, make straight the path because God is coming, or repent and believe in the gospel because Jesus is coming. But we don't remember all the rest of what went around his life. He had quite a dynamic life. And it started from a very early age. A very pivotal moment for him was when Mary came to visit Elizabeth. Still in the womb, he recognized God's presence and leapt for joy. That moment, that encounter with Christ, was so profound that the rest of his life was centered on service for God. Nothing else. So that when it came time for him to begin proclaiming the gospel, begin preparing people for the entry of the Messiah, he had no qualm about what he was going to do. He preached the coming of the Messiah. He did that, even to the point where he angered the Pharisees and scribes, angered the ruling authorities of Rome, and they arrested him. While in prison, he inspired Herod, who loved to hear him teach. But Herodias didn't, for lots of very important reasons. And asked for him to be beheaded. Even though John was the forerunner who followed God to the end, he followed him to the moment of his execution, where he was beheaded. One of our two feast days for him in the church, September 29th. Nevertheless, these two men do showcase something very important. They were God's servants. They spent their lives in service of God because they had such a profound experience. The same thing works for us. We hear in our first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah how God wants us to be his servants. My guess is that most of us, when we think of being servants, think of something from the 1940s, where we put on a black outfit or maybe a black dress and a white apron, and at the ringing of a bell, we run for whoever we're serving, king, lord, master of the house, whatever it might be. That's what we think of servants, that we're bound to follow them, do whatever they ask at their whim. I want to challenge that with a different image. And this image is one of the most intimate images in the New Testament, in that it's Mary of Bethany. So Jesus comes to Jerusalem, they're all happy, excited, here he is, and after his big triumphal entry, he leaves and goes to Bethany, which is just up the hill from Jerusalem. There he's seated at table with his disciples, and they're having a great meal, and all of a sudden this woman comes in, who's called Mary of Bethany. Her exact story is a little bit convoluted and unsure of in Scripture. She could have been the one that 7 demons were cast out of. She could have been one that just followed Jesus and had this profound encounter with him. Whatever it was, she had such an amazing experience that she felt healed, whole. She felt enamored by him, so much so that she finds out where he is and brings this costly jar of perfume and pours it over him at the disgust of everyone else. After that, she is weeping so profoundly that she can bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. I don't know about you, but I've never done that before. I've never cried so much that I can bathe someone's feet with my tears, or care so much as to dry their feet with my hair. I think most of us would find that very weird. So if you've done that, please come talk to me. That's kind of strange. But nevertheless, that shows how utterly odd this experience is. But also it shows how incredibly transformed she was. Her goal was service. And even though almost no one understood at that moment, what she was doing was immensely profound. She was preparing his body for burial, because that's what you do. You'd wash it with water and then anoint it with oil or perfume spices or embalming fluid to get it ready for burial. She had a sense, even if she didn't know it, that Jesus was about to die, and that brought her her salvation. She had this profound sense that her act of service was good for him, and he in turn turned around and blessed her, which is important for us. Her experience teaches us the joy of servanthood. It starts not with us, but with God, who comes and meets us first and gives us that profound experience that he is with us, imbuing us with grace and mercy, hope and justice. And then in response is our service. Our response is one of joy and hope, one of giving ourselves to God in gratitude, to which God, being the guy who is, turns and gives us more things and just keeps building on it, because that's how God is. So how do we become his servants? What does that look like? Well, it starts here. The Mass is our greatest act of service. And the wonderful examples that come through Scripture would be like Isaiah 6, where Isaiah is in the temple and sees the seraphim ministering to God. Or in the book of Revelation, where we have the seraphim and the cherubim who are doing these things for God. God has attendants, servants. The seraphim take care of his every need, whatever that might be. And the cherubim lift his throne and move it throughout the world. These angels are there ministering to God. And we're in the same place. We have already been transformed by Christ, which brought us here. And this is our act of service back. We are giving back in thanksgiving what God has given us. Giving our voices, our very bodily gestures, all these things are acts of service here in the Mass. What does God do in response? Blesses us again and gives us even more grace. So that Eucharistic Prayer 2 really captures what I mean by this. In Eucharistic Prayer 2, it says, "We give you thanks, Almighty Father, for allowing us to be worthy to minister in your presence." It captures what we do. We're here to minister to God. We're here to care for his needs. We're here to be imbued with his grace. That, as the first reading from Isaiah says, to go out with that into the world and spread his grace and mercy where we go. That's what we do. But even more than that, we can go a step further. We can bring this idea of servanthood into our entire lives. When I was in seminary, they used to tell us, your desk is your altar. And what they mean by that is the time spent in study, the time spent preparing for ordination, the time spent learning these things about our faith was an act of sacrifice. It was our gift back to God. The same thing can work in our lives in various ways. Whether it be as simple as doing the dishes or cleaning the house, or maybe it's some bigger project, or maybe it's some service to the church, or maybe it's some time spent with friends who need it. All these things can be seen as an act of service if we choose to make them that. We have to choose it and make it part of who we are. A good example of what I mean comes from the movie Edith Stein, The Life of St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross. She entered the Carmelite monastery at the age of 45, which is really unheard of. Most people would not dare enter if they're older than 30. The manual labor of the novice was so extreme, most women could not handle it if they're over 30 years old. So the fact that she entered at 45 was a rough go for her. It was rough enough that at a pivotal moment in that movie, here she is, overwhelmed by the immense strain this has had on her body and the challenges of the Carmelite monastery, that she comes before the crucifix and said, "Lord, I'm done. I can't take this anymore. I can't do what you're asking. It's too much work." And as she's fighting herself and she's rolling on the floor and she's just beside herself to figure out what to do, she pauses for a moment and said, "But I'll do it for you." And she continues going on. That's the attitude we need. "But I'll do it for you." And that's the act of servanthood. That's what God is inspiring in us with his grace, that we might just do everything for him. So I encourage you, recognize what God has already done for us. He's already given us grace and mercy. He's already shown us his forgiveness. What is our response back? How do you want to become a servant? How do you want to cultivate your life in such a way where you give it back to him and say, "Lord, I do this for you."